What's going on, everybody? This is the Gorilla Man, and you're listening to the B&B Sports Show podcast. On this episode, I'm going to be talking about today's Daytona 500. It got postponed from Sunday. They had about 20 laps in or whatever, and then it rained out completely, so they had to started again from today around 3 o'clock this afternoon. It was a pretty good race, but man, there's a lot of fucking wrecks. One thing I may add, the finish, probably the worst wreck I ever witnessed in my lifetime. I've been watching racing probably since I was 4 years old. So give or take 30 years or better. And other than the 2001 Daytona 500 with Dale Earnhardt getting killed in that race, this was right up there and probably one of the worst accidents. Because, I mean, when you look at it, Dale Earnhardt's wreck didn't really seem all that bad. It wasn't until, I seen some of the pictures of the aftermath and stuff. And, of course, Earnhardt had an open-faced helmet. And that was terrible. But today, in case you're not understanding what I'm talking about or who I'm talking about, Ryan Newman, the number six car, he was, it was the last lap going into the last turn. He was leading. And Ryan Blaney was behind him, and he was getting basically drafted by Denny Hamlin. And Denny Hamlin was pushing Ryan Blaney. And both Ryans drive for Ford, and Hamlin drives for Toyota. Anyway, so Hamlin was pushing him, and he was going too fast or whatever, and his momentum was just going way more faster than Ryan Newman was at the time, so it was just a bad deal. So he got behind Ryan, and he was going to push him to to the finish line to try to help him win or whatever, and the Ford momentum just clipped the back end of Ryan Newman and got him loose and sent him right into the wall. It was unreal. Just probably one of the worst, or like I said, one of the worst wrecks I've ever seen. He hit the side of the wall, or he hit pretty much right on the driver's door. And then the rear end picked up, and then it lifted him up in the air. And while he was rolling, he was on his roof, and then the car rolled again to where his driver's side door was exposed. And then another car comes and hits him going, almost 190 miles an hour or better, and then hit him again. And he ended up skidding across the finish line upside down on his side, pretty much on the passenger side. It was just horrendous. It was really reminiscent of Dale Earnhardt when he passed away, how the media didn't say nothing, and it was just hush hush for the longest time. And I got really concerned because they started bringing out these first they shut off the lights because it ended up being dark towards the end of the race. But they shut off the lights that were above Ryan Newman where he ended up. So they shut off those lights for some reason. And then they brought out these black, I don't know what to call them, sheets. But they're not really sheets. They're on a stand or whatever. And they covered up the car, or covered, basically blocked the view from the fans being able to see them. pulling Ryan Newman out of the car, and they had to, I mean, they pretty much had to cut the whole roof off, everything, like, to get him out and stuff. So then we waited about an hour and a half or whatever before they finally come out and told us that he didn't suffer any major injury, like life-threatening injuries. He's in serious condition, but they don't feel that the injuries that he sustained was life-threatening. So thank goodness. Yeah, I don't pray too often when it comes to sporting events and stuff like that, but you know, I did. I said a prayer for Ryan Newman because, you know, he's got two young kids, and it's unfortunate that he's just 4 days ago, him and his wife basically filed for divorce. So, I mean, it's just like worst timing ever, you know. But I'm just like, as a father myself, you know, like I kind of can put that aspect into it when I think about it, because it's just so, it hits home to me, you know, like when I was injured and when I got burned and stuff, like I had to fight for my life just to make it so that I could stay alive for my kids and my wife. So I'm really thankful he's not out of the woodwork yet, but I'm praying that he can make a full, complete recovery on his part, you know. it definitely made a lot more fans of NASCAR today, was this happening. So, and it's going to be, I guarantee you, when he decides to come back, if he decides to come back, people are going to give him the biggest standing ovation since probably Dale Earnhardt Jr. winning the next race after his dad died. So, it's like I said, you know, these guys know what they're signing up for when they go into racing. And, you know, like another thing too, like Ryan Newman used to be a Stuart Haas racer. So, like, I've always been a fan of his. So it really hit close to home, watching that and seeing that happen. You know, and I was rooting for him because Kevin Harvick is my driver now since Stewart retired, and I knew he wouldn't have anything to try to compete to get up to the front or whatever, so I was just like screaming for Ryan Newman to win it, and damn, he was so close. You know, and then a lot of people are bashing on Denny Hamlin because he started doing donuts in the infield and celebrating and shit, but nobody really knew what, I'm sorry about coughing into your guys' ears, but nobody really knew the severity of how injured he was. It was just like, you know, like I remember when Michael Waltrip won the Daytona 500 in 2001, right after Dale Earnhardt died. Like, he was celebrating and everything, and then all of a sudden, like, the news came that Dale Earnhardt died, and he just, like, you know, started crying, and that was what it was like. It was a very emotional time, because it was just the thought of losing another driver at Daytona was just, like, it was scary, you know, and the way that Jeff Gordon and the other announcer were talking. Now, you could see it on Jeff Gordon's face that something bad happened, and he knew more than what he was putting on. And like I said, thankfully, you know, God answered our prayers and kept him alive, you know, because it could have been a lot worse than what it was. And I'm hoping that we'll have more information when it comes out, hopefully later tomorrow or whenever. So. But anyway, so Denny Hamlin wins the Daytona 500 for the third time in his career. You know, kudos to him. Congratulations. But I didn't like how he was celebrating, but nobody knew, like I said. So I can't really bash on him. I mean, I was at first. I was really pissed at first, but you never know. You don't know what happens, and you're winning the Daytona 500. I mean, to be, he's one of very few drivers to win three times at that track. That is nearly impossible to win at Daytona 500. I mean, look at Dale Earnhardt. It took him his almost his entire career before he won one time at Daytona. So, I mean, and look at Tony Stewart, my favorite driver. He never was able to win a Daytona 500. So, you know, that just shows you how hard it is to win there. And this kid's won three times. Unreal. He's a hell of a driver, but I really wish it would have been Ryan Newman, to be honest with you. But, so anyway, so I know I'm a little late on this next subject. The XFL started 2 weeks ago, and so far I'm really liking what I'm seeing. It is fast-paced, not a whole lot of penalties. I mean, this last week there was quite a few more penalties than normal, but for the most part, they're pretty much letting these players play. They have a lot, kind of like college-type rules, in a sense. Kickoff is really kind of cool, where they basically they have to get it past the 20-yard line when they kick off. And you have both offensive and defensive sides. I think it's the defensive side stands at the 30-yard line or 35-yard line, and the offensive line stands at the 30-yard line. And neither side can move until the kick returner catches the ball. If it goes like into the end zone or whatever for a touchback, it moves. They move the ball up to the 35. Same thing for like if you kick out of bounds, you'll put the ball on their 45-yard line. Like normally it would be at the other side of the 50 for the 45-yard line or 35-yard line or whatever. But they really make it a point to like, you got to be a really good kicker in order to keep it out of the end zone and keep you want them to have a return no matter what. And it also limits the high impact hits on the returns too, so it's a lot more safer. So I think that's going to be something that the NFL will probably implement into their new rules and stuff. Only thing I kind of have a little bit of annoyance with is the sideline reporters, like, constantly, either on the field or they wait for the kids to come off the field or whatever. Like, let's say, like, Matt McGloin or whatever for the New York Guardians, he had a horrible game this last Saturday, and he threw like two pick sixes, I believe. And like the reporter went up to him right after the last pick six, like, well, you kind of threw a bad throw there. Like, what were you thinking when you made that throw, you know? And he's like, he, I don't know. He just basically blamed everything on the team and not himself. So I don't really look for him being the quarterback for much longer for that team, to be honest with you. But it's been pretty entertaining. I decided before they even started playing a game and before I even knew who was on my team, as soon as they announced the team names and logos, I chose the Houston Roughnecks. It's kind of like a kind of reminiscence of the old Houston Oilers logo, except for as an H in the oil mine thing, whatever. It's pretty cool, and they're a damn good team. PJ Walker is our quarterback, and the kid, he's already had 6 touchdowns in 2 weeks. You know, that's saying something. I mean, he's a hell, like, he's throwing like kind of like how Patrick Mahomes throws, a lot of sidearm passes and no interceptions. He's kind of like a Russell Wilson Patrick Mahomes hybrid in a sense, because he's so fucking elusive. Like, he should have been sacked 3 or 4 times in yesterday's game alone. We played the Battlehawks, St. Louis Battlehawks. I can probably tell you, like, pretty much the teams are the Seattle Dragons. Then you got the LA Wildcats. Then you got the Dallas Renegades, Houston Roughnecks, the Tampa Bay Vipers, St. Louis Battlehawks, DC Defenders, and the New York Guardians. So it's only an 8-team league for right now, but it's a very entertaining league. Like I said, like the Sunday game, whatever, between my Houston Roughnecks and the Battlehawks, that was like at the edge of your fucking seat type game. Because we went up, I think we played a little too conservative in the second half, as we were up 21 to 6 going into halftime. And then, like, all of a sudden they come back and they were like, they weren't taking the lead, but it was damn close. We ended up beating them 28-24. So, and another thing about this league is they don't have the kick after the touchdown, which is fucking awesome. You can either choose to go for a 1 point at the 2-yard line, 2 points at the 5-yard line, and 3 points at the 10-yard line. And they also have what they call a double forward pass. So, like, let's say you're behind the line of scrimmage. You have to be behind the line of scrimmage either way. But you could, like, throw it forward, because normally in, like, the NFL, you have to lateral it. You can't throw it forward. A forward motion doesn't matter if you're above the or behind the line of scrimmage. With this one, you can be, you don't have to just lateral it and then have them pass it or whatever. I watched the DC Defenders do that this last weekend. Cordell Jones is their quarterback, and he's been lighting it up too. So far what I've gathered is the DC Defenders and the Houston Roughnecks are probably the two best teams in the league so far. Like I said, I'm not trying to be biased or whatever, but DC, man, they got a hell of a fucking a defense. I mean, they shut out their last opponent 27-0. So, and it was a pretty boring game, but, like, you had the Seattle Dragons versus Tampa Vipers or whatever. That was a hell of a game. Like, you could have sworn that you were watching the Seattle fucking Seahawks, because that crowd was just rocking that stadium. They play in the same CenturyLink Field, whatever the name of the Seattle Seahawks stadium is. That's the stadium that they're playing in. And I know I dog on Seattle Seahawks fans and whatnot, but their fans, they came out and they showed true support for their team. And I'm very, very happy that they do that, because we need all the help we can get to continue this league, because it does help, you know, fill that void of the off season, because, man, it sucks ass not being able to watch football for 9 fucking months. So it's something that we definitely need, and it's definitely something that is going to help the sport in itself. We just need to have people continue to watch it. If you don't have cable or whatever, sometimes the games are going to be shown on FS1 and stuff, or the Fox app or ABC app. They do stream those for free on their websites, and you can actually gain, like, the ratings go through their websites too. So you can watch the game for free, and they also have a YouTube too, but that doesn't go with the ratings and stuff. So try to avoid using YouTube streams if you're going to do it. Go to the actual websites, because it's free on there, and and you can watch the game and help out with the ratings. Because the higher the ratings, the more chances this league's going to make it. It has a 3-year program. It's a 3-year contract, whatever. I know they had the same similar thing with the first time that they had the XFL, but that one was a lot more, like, for me, like, when I was thinking of the new XFL, I was really kind of leery about wanting to really like it, just because of based off of the first XFL and how gimmicky it was, you know, like how players had their own nickname on the back of their jersey, and it was just it more or less seemed like you were watching an episode of Monday Night Raw or whatever. It didn't feel like football to me. And Vince McMahon did a hell of a job bringing in Andrew Luck's dad, Oliver Luck, as a commissioner, and then bringing in like Bob Stoops. He's the coach of the Dallas Renegades and stuff, and they're both, like, he brought in a lot of football-minded people, so whereas the last time that he started the league, it was pretty much a bunch of yes men that didn't know shit about football. They brought them in, and they're just basically like, oh yeah, that sounds great, and the league just failed within one season, and that was it. Also, like, because back then they were using, I think, NBC, and I'm not sure, CBS maybe. So they went from different, they went to ABC, ESPN, Fox Sports 1, and Fox to televise all their teams and all the games and stuff, which I greatly appreciate, because as a lifelong Dolphins fan, it sucks during football season to have to always stream my game on my fucking, you know, 7-inch TV screen, or my 7-inch tablet or whatever, or my phone, my small little phone or whatever, and not getting to watch the games on TV and stuff. So it's really cool to be able to watch your favorite team every week, no matter how good or bad they are. They're going to televise it. So, and then another thing too, you know, if you continue to watch it and support the league, they might talk about expanding with more teams, you know. Like, I would be happy if they max at like 16 team league or whatever. Don't get too big, you know, for your britches. I mean, this isn't something that you're going to want to do to compete against the NFL or anything. Plus, the more people or the more teams that you bring in, the less likely, like, let's say your team starts sucking and they don't win any games, the less likelihood of your team being on TV goes down the drain, you know. And you can only have so many games a day. I mean, maybe they could bump it up to 3 games for Saturdays and Sundays, but you can't do it on Mondays, can't do it on Fridays, because then Vince is going to be competing, or Wednesdays either, Vince would be competing against all of his wrestling companies or wrestling brands or whatever. So I know that they have for week 9 and 10, it will be, they'll have 2 Thursday night games, or one apiece. So the week 9, they'll have a Thursday night game, and then week 10, they'll have a Thursday night game. And then the next week is the playoffs, which will be on Saturday and Sunday. And then the championship will be on the Sunday of April 21st, I think it is. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, all across the board, I'm very happy with it. I know a lot of NFL fans or whatever, they don't want to buy into it or whatever. A lot of people, or one thing I've really noticed on social media is a lot of people are like dogging on it and saying it sucks or whatever. But then I ask them, well, did you watch any of the games? Well, no. Well, then what the fuck? You can't give me your goddamn opinion if you've never watched a single fucking minute of the games. I mean, it may not have high caliber players or names that you recognize, but these guys are making a name for themselves. Like, before week one, I had no idea who the fuck PJ Walker was. I knew he was my starting quarterback, but I didn't know what his background was. He was a backup in the Indianapolis Colts for Andrew Luck. And if it wasn't for Andrew Luck telling his dad to bring him in and give him a shot for the XFL, we wouldn't have one of the best fucking quarterbacks in the league right now. And then you got some, I can't pronounce his name, but he's a Samoan quarterback for the Battlehawks. I mean, the dude, he lit up our fucking defense, and our defense is pretty good for Houston, and he lit them up. I mean, he did really fucking well. So that's two really good players. And then you got Cardale Jones, which he was a backup player. He started a few games or whatever for the Buffalo Bills, but he was benched real soon after that. And then he didn't get a shot after that. He ended up going to, like, I think the Chargers or whatever to be a backup there, but that was pretty much it. But he is, since high school, he's undefeated. That's pretty fucking crazy. That every game that he started in, he's been undefeated in. So, or maybe since college or something. I don't know, remember. There was some stat or whatever I seen that he's 13-0 since starting in college or high school or something. And because I know he only started a few games. He started like the last few games for Ohio State when they won the national championship. Can't remember what year that was, but the very first national championship when they first had the very first playoffs or whatever, is he won that. But he wasn't a starter the next year, so. But as far as I'm saying, you know, like, I want people to, at least who are on the fence and have not seen a single minute of the XFL, give it a shot. I mean, if you're looking for a good game or whatever, Houston always puts up really good numbers. The Battlehawks put up really good numbers, and their next home game for the St. Louis Battlehawks, they already sold out like 30,000 some tickets or whatever. So, like, and it's at the old, I can't remember if it's at the old dome or whatever, the old Rams dome or whatever from St. Louis, but that's fucking crazy. That shows you that these teams, they have the following. They want the fan base there. They're going to get it. So, I mean, what's next? If they do bring up some more teams or whatever, start out with just like four more extra. You know, you don't need to go jump big into, you know, eight more teams or whatever. Just go to a market where they don't have a team, or, well, look at it. Like, Seattle has a hell of a following. I would try to probably stay out of California, because the LA, they didn't put up much numbers. I think they only had like 17,000 or whatever. But DC, like, they had quite a few crowd there or whatever. But it was 25 degrees. So for them to get 12,000 people to show up to the game, that's pretty decent, you know. But the stadium holds like 20,000. So, I mean, it did look a little empty. But they're probably one of the best teams in the league right now, next to my Roughnecks. So, but you just have to continue to support the teams. Try to support the league. Watch every weekend, Saturday and Sunday. I'm up every morning, every game. Like, I treat it like it's a college game. Or NFL, in a sense, because most of the time my Dolphins play at noon here, so I'm up every time for Saturday and Sunday, ready to watch football. I know a lot of wives are probably like, what the fuck? I thought football season was over with. Well, it'll be over in April, but for the meantime, I mean, this helps us get through the off season. That's the main goal. And I'm hoping that it just stays strong, and because there's only 10 weeks of football in the XFL, which is fine with me. You just have to support it. That's the only thing I could say, because the AAF, I thought that was a really cool league too, but it was weird because I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know that they were having another football league until week three. I just happened to stumble across it, because when I thought like AAF, I thought it was like Arena Football League or something like that, or I thought it was, first I thought it was soccer, because I don't really care. I hate soccer, but I just clicked on it, and next thing you know, it's like Orlando Apollos. What the fuck? So, and I started watching, then I was an Orlando Apollo fan, and then week eight come, and then next thing you know, they fucking shut down the league, because they ran out of money. So, like, I really hope that that doesn't happen. I know a lot of people are rooting for it to fail, because heavens forbid anything is different than the NFL. Like, I'm diehard fucking NFL till the day I die, but I want another league to succeed too. Like, it's just like they try to say, oh, the talent isn't there or whatever. What do you think college football is? College football is basically semi-professional, and these are players that were established, went to the NFL, and just like didn't get the starting pay, or not really starting pay, but they didn't really get the reps or the playing time that they really felt like they needed to succeed, and teams would just get rid of them because they didn't feel like they could benefit from having them on the team. You know, you only get 53-man rosters, so they went ahead and they fucking kicked them off the team, and XFL scooped up and picked them up. Best part on their part or whatever. So, yeah, the league doesn't pay very much, but the thing that I like about it, it's like their motto is "For the love of football," and I like that motto. I really do, because it really is. You can tell the difference between the NFL and XFL, because these players, they don't get paid very much money. I think the lowest amount of money that a player will make is like $56,000 a year, a season for 10 weeks. You get bonuses. If you start, you'll get like an additional $1,000 bonus for starting, or $1,000 plus whatever. And then, and if your team wins, you get an additional like $2,000 bonus. So it adds up after a while. And then I believe after each win too, the team itself gets to divide up $100,000 amongst each other. So like it's just pretty fucking cool, you know, like and they play with such enthusiasm, and it's like just for the love of the game, you know, like something that we haven't seen in a long time. That's why I'm totally against paying college players, because it's just going to tarnish the league in a sense, the game. Because instead of like recruiting a player because he's talented, now all these good, really good players, they're just going to go to whoever pays them the most. So it's like you're not going to have a fair advantage. So like, what's the fucking point? A team like Iowa, like my team, they ain't going to be able to compete with teams like Alabama or Clemson, which they can't now, but or Ohio State, or, you know, teams that would pay them more money. Like right now it's implementing into California, like with USC and stuff like that. But I mean, what player in their right mind would want to go to college and then go to college basically play for free when they could be making, you know, a couple $100,000 or $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 playing for USC or something like that? And, you know, you're always, every time when you're playing in college, you're risking your body if you get hurt. Like, look at Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, he didn't have that insurance policy where if he were to get injured, he'd get so much money because he was banking on going to the NFL, which I really hope the Dolphins get him because if he's healthy, go for it, you know. But the thing that I like about the XFL is they're actually thinking about kids that are freshmen or sophomore, let's say sophomore year, 20 years old or whatever. If they decide, you know, college ball just isn't for me or whatever, they could come out and go to the XFL and make some money, you know, or maybe stay in college during the off season or whatever. And I don't know how it's going to work, but it'd be cool if they can get some college players or whatever instead of going to the NFL to go to the XFL because they're going to be guaranteeing starting in a sense, you know. I think they'll have a draft every year around right before around spring or maybe during the summertime or whatever to get ready for or hell, I think it'd probably be in November or something like that is when they do their draft. So, I don't know. I'm kind of rambling, and I apologize. But for the most part, I'm just excited to have football until April. And then from April until August, it's going to be a fucking boring-ass time. A lot of time fucking mowing lawns and thinking about football is pretty much all I'll be doing. But for the most part, I'm excited and happy to have football back. So, but thank you guys for listening. I know this is going to be a kind of a short episode, but I'm just kind of rambling anyway. So hope you guys have a good night and God bless. Thanks for listening. Peace.